This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Plenty to get into this week as the Columbus Crew move on forward into the playoffs. They have clinched playoff spot, but the positioning is still very much up for grabs. We'll get into how they've been doing and where that all stands coming up. Plenty to discuss with Manchester United, Beam's team.
All good.
All good. Just having some concerns about possible legal FIFA rules. With
I'm not worried about legalities in FIFA. Okay?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, rules with FIFA are, it's like on whose line? The rules, points are all made up and the rules.
Nothing matters.
That's right. Manchester City's got one of the best players in the world, and he's doing some photo shoots that are raising some cash. So we'll talk about that.
It's a handsome looking mang.
And social media, best rule, never post.
No, just never post.
And if you're Napoli's social media manager, I'm assuming you're looking for a new job, I would think. We'll talk about all that coming up on the show. Beamer, how have you been? How are things? How you feeling?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. Really good. I had a day off this week. That was nice. My dad and my stepmom live up in Cleveland, so that was cool. Got to go see them. It was his big 60th birthday.
Oh, let him live. Happy birthday, Dad.
A couple of weeks ago, so that was pretty awesome. Wasn't able to get up there on his birthday. Him and Meredith are a couple days apart, and as you know, we went up to Michigan and went to Death Cab, so didn't get to see him that weekend. So went up, took a day. It's Ohio State bye week, so I feel like I was kind of able to get away with that. Went to a couple of breweries up in Cleveland with him, got to hang out.
Which ones did you hit? I'm curious.
Sibling Revelry, so they live in Westlake.
Okay.
Which they actually live like in Crocker Park, which is kind of like a smaller version of like Easton.
Okay, gotcha.
So they kind of like live on
must
like,
be nice.
Yeah, they kind of live on like the backside of that.
By the way, I want to point out, this is your father that when we first started talking about your dad, like when I got to know you and I'm like, so, you know, you mentioned your dad. I'm like, oh, what does he do? And you're like, I don't know. I don't really know what he does. And I found this to be odd.
I don't know what he does. All right. I have no clue. Like, I know my stepmom, she works for Highland, which is a software company up in Cleveland.
That's good.
My dad was in
International Man of Mystery.
I don't know what he does. Databases and.
Is he selling them? Is he typing on them?
I don't know what he is.
Is he hacking them?
He might be hacking them.
Oh, good. Okay.
He might be hacking them. He used to work for, like, the reason they moved up to Cleveland, because he worked for a company in Cleveland.
Okay.
And he left there.
You know he worked for a company in Cleveland.
Yeah, that's why they went up there. But then swiftly after that, he left that company and started working for a company out of New Zealand. And
didn't they get stuck there during the pandemic or almost stuck
there?
They
did. So if you go all the way back to like the beginning of the pandemic in 2020, he was over there because he had to go down there once a year. And so my stepmom took a couple of weeks off. Like my dad would be down there for a month.
Yeah.
And then my stepmom took a couple of weeks off. She went down there and like used that as her travel, like vacation.
Sure, yeah.
So they were... Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
Right.
You know, like those mountains, like all that's kind of like filmed in
New Zealand.
New Zealand. So they were hiking the fjordlands of New Zealand. Like they were on like
a five, six, seven day
trip. Like
I want to be hiking the fjordlands whenever I can. Sounds awesome.
Well, I mean, no cell service. Like you're out, you know, in the country.
Sure.
It's a multiple day trek to get where you're going and then turn around and come back.
That's the point. You're getting away from it all, getting out in nature. Sure.
And so my dad, like all this, like the world is shutting down. Like they're hiking in the fjordlands of New Zealand. And he texted me like as soon as they got back to like cell service or whatever, he's like, how did the Buckeye basketball team do in the Big Ten tournament? I'm starting to laugh. I'm like, buddy, you have a lot to learn. Like there's a thing called COVID.
The world is shutting down.
So they were supposed to go to like Bora Bora or Tahiti from New Zealand. Cause he's like, that's the closest you're ever going to be. And so they were supposed to go from there to there. And it's like, well, we couldn't do that. And then they decided, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to go to Hawaii instead, like be back in the contiguous, or not in the contiguous.
Yeah, I know, in the 50 states
and we'll be fine. And then even Hawaii is like, no, we're not letting people in. So it was a flight from Auckland, New Zealand that they took. It was from Auckland to, I think, LAX to Cleveland. So like they were booking.
Wow.
They were excited about like getting back to you know, taking another like respite from their like big giant fjord land trip.
Yeah, right.
In New Zealand, and instead they're like back in Cleveland in like 48 hours.
And they caught one. They catch one of like the last flights out or something. Before,
I think it was the last flight like back to the States, like before New Zealand like totally shut down.
See, my dream is the opposite. I'd want to be in New Zealand, and then they're like, "Oh, sorry, you can't leave." And it's like, "Oh, darn."
Well, so now like
and
looking back on it,
then you send the email and just be like, "Well, guys, I'd love to leave. I'd love to come back and help you with work.
I'm stuck.
I'm stuck here. I mean, I work remotely. Oh, my battery. I don't have a plug for."
Well, that was
New
the crazy
Zealand
thing because company was in New Zealand, so like he would have been fine.
Yeah, he could have.
But
worked.
My stepmom would have had been like, I can't get back.
Gosh.
So like he worked for them for a little bit, and then he retired from there.
He was an international hitman for a while.
I think
we know
he still
that.
Is because he's back working now and he's back traveling. Worked out of a company for Hong Kong for like I don't know 6 months to a year.
I love it. I love like I've never worked for a company that was not based in Ohio. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, or at least I guess now our company's based in D.C. that owns all this. But
I
started here. It was locally owned. And all the other jobs I've had have been locally owned other than working for like Walmart as a cashier.
Now we're just a cog in the machine.
Yeah. Right? I'm just saying I've never worked for a company where it's like, oh, yeah, I got to FaceTime with some people in, you know, Beijing once a month just to make sure we're all on the same page. Like I've never had to think about that. I don't have to worry about changing currency over nothing. I've never had to deal with any of that.
Yeah. So now he's working for an Australian company.
There we go.
That's like I got there at 1 o'clock on Tuesday. It would have been left here around 11, and he's like, "Just make yourself at home." I got a call that I need to hop on at 3 o'clock, and then it was like 10. I was getting ready to go to bed, and he's like scrolling through his emails, like responding to emails to people because I mean it's totally different side of the world now.
Time,
it's like 7 a.m. On Thursday, and so
your dad is our Oceania soccer expert. We're going to ask him questions whenever next World Cup qualifying starts happening. We'll ask him all about
that.
So he
is for sure an international hitman. But no, it was good. I had a good time with that.
Well, good.
Their basement's a dungeon. I woke up at 9:42 in the morning, which is the latest I've ever I've slept.
Oh, that had to be nice given you do mornings. Yeah.
Well, that and the child.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, right? Yeah.
Meredith was very jealous of that, so that was pretty good. But no, I'm rejuvenated. I'm recharged. Feeling pretty good. How's Firefest?
I'll tell you what. Why don't we talk about Firefest at the end of the show? Because we've been doing a lot of music stuff at the beginning. If you want to hear that, we'll do it at the end. But we'll get you caught up on the soccer stuff and we'll go from there. Or maybe we'll do it in the after the first commercial break. I don't know. We'll do it some other time. But yes, short story, great.
Okay.
Loved it.
Did you get a tattoo?
No, because the line was too long. Okay. I inquired and said how long, and they said we're a minimum 3 hour wait now. And I'm like, well, I got a million bands I want to see. But the company that did the tattoos from Toledo, I've already talked to them. I'm going to go up there and get it.
Oh,
I'm going
nice.
To get it. I am going to get it because I desperately want to do that. So, all right, more on that coming up. But let's talk about the U.S. Open Cup.
Mm.
Ah, yes. It's a tournament that I wish the crew could win again. We have won it before, won it in 2002 to much acclaim. Big deal. That was a huge thing when the crew won it in 2002, for those who don't know, because it is called technically the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. That's how important the original crew owner, Lamar Hunt, was to American soccer. Such a big champion of soccer that they renamed this tournament that predated his involvement in sports. But they said, you know what? It's so important. He's so important. Let's marry the two and name it after him. And the crew did win it before he passed away, which was, you know, a great thing for black and gold. Unfortunately, they were not in the final. This time it was Houston and Miami, two cities.
Did we get backed out? Did we get knocked out by the Riverhounds? Pittsburgh?
I believe that's right.
I think we did.
Yes.
In the round of 16.
I think you're right. We did, because that was a frustration. That's right. And I think that was one where if that hadn't happened, I think we might have played FC Cincinnati. It was like, I think we would have been in line to maybe do that.
I think that
maybe
was right.
I can't remember. Either way, I blocked it out because it's painful. I would like to see us next year try to go for that. In either case, Houston, hot city. So they don't really have an advantage in this game. Nobody had an advantage in this game because both these teams are used to playing in the heat and the gross and all that stuff. But unfortunately for Inter Miami, they did not have their star player, Lionel Messi, did not feature in this game.
Tough.
Tough to see. You hate to see it. Tata Martino had said if it was an MLS game, he definitely wouldn't play, but left open the possibility that he would get in the game or that they would, you know, possibly use him. But then it turned out he would not and was not available, right? Even got off the bus as a player.
Right.
Like, he wasn't dressed
or anything.
He was
there, but...
Yeah, he was there, but he wasn't dressed. Unfortunately for Miami, you hate to see it. Houston beat him, so Houston gets
I don't think
gets
I've ever seen you turncoat so fast on a guy who you have said nothing but good things about.
What do you mean? I'm not turncoat on him.
Yes, you are.
No.
Yes,
no,
you are.
No, no,
yes,
no.
You are.
Don't mistake the reaction to him with the reaction to the hype surrounding him. There is a difference. I can appreciate, for example, certain musical acts, certain movies, TV shows, etc. What I tend to get annoyed with, the show may be good. The musicians may be awesome. Whatever it is may be, you know, great. It's the way everyone is like, oh my God, you got to look at this right now. And it's like, well, I don't want to. And they're like, too bad. I'm shoving it in your face. And it's like, I don't, please let me look at something else. We're like, no, I'm blocking your view. I will make you look and watch and listen to this. That's where I go, I don't want any, leave me alone. That's the part where I know what I like. I know what I think is cool. I know what I don't like. I know what I don't think is cool. Please stop telling me what to like. I have a problem with authority, Beam. I don't know if you've noticed that.
I have noticed that maybe a little bit.
So I think when someone, when the, I don't want to say authorities, but when the soccer gatekeepers of this country are like, this is where it is, my instant reaction is like, I'm going to go over here then. Because if you're all going over there,
I'm going to continue watching my crew.
But it's not, but I'm saying it's not to be purposefully contrarian. I know it seems like that. If yes, you listen to this, it seems like I'm just trying to be an edgelord. Like, oh yeah, you like Lionel Messi? Lionel Messi sucks. No, I'm not. I'm just genuinely, it was the same thing with Tebow, with Brady Quinn in college football. Everyone's like, oh, Brady Quinn is just the greatest Notre Dame quarterback of all time. And I was like, great, I don't care. But he's from Columbus. You should care. I don't care. And I don't think he's that good. But that was just because I didn't think he was that good. Also, and it turned out he wasn't. Ohio State got him. What are you going to say?
Kind of like this weekend.
That's right.
Where are you at, Lou Holtz?
Where are you at, Lou Holtz? That's exactly right. So I know I'm a little bit contrarian, and I tried not to be that. But genuinely, it's just I am not a fan of everyone screaming at me all the time.
You don't want everybody
pushing something
in
my face. Yeah, exactly right. So, but then oddly enough, like I have no problem with Taylor Swift. So I don't know where that's wildly inconsistent. I'm not against anything with Taylor Swift, although I wouldn't say I want to like I'm not running out to buy tickets to watch the movie. I'm certainly personally not interested in going to the concert.
You're not interested in going to Kansas City Chiefs games now all of a sudden?
Right. Yes. I would be very annoyed if it's like if people who don't if it's if a bunch of Swifties came up was like, have you heard of Travis Kelce? Do you know who he is? It's like, yeah, I do. I already did know about that. You don't have to tell me about him. I'm aware. That would be annoying to me. Wouldn't that be annoying to you?
Yeah. Well, I don't. The Bears were the butt end of that joke on Sunday, true. So I was already living it. I was already living in my own personal hellscape. So
yes, but if everyone like came to you and was like, aren't you happy for the Chiefs and Travis Kelce? You'd be like, no, I'm not. Yeah, why do I have to be happy?
It would be a very Larry David like, eh.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't really, no, I'm not happy for them. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying. So where were we? Oh, yeah.
Miami
sucks, and I hope they never do anything ever.
Good on Houston. Good for
Houston, even though they just beat us not too long ago when we traveled to Houston.
Yeah, that was the most predictable thing in the world, though.
We did predict that. We did. Let's talk some crew. They're getting, I would say, getting mostly the job done the way you need to. Took care of business against Chicago, as you should when you have an inferior team you're playing. 3-0 win. Way to go. Clinched the playoffs with that win. Yep. So that's good.
Cucho hat trick really before you could get settled into the game.
Oh, my gosh. What an amazing hat trick that was.
One of the quick two like penalties, too. It's like boom, boom. Like all of a sudden, the great goal off the corner.
Yeah. I will say the crew aren't – I'm not saying they're getting every call this year. I feel like this year it's slightly – now, not that one game – with the referee that we all hated from, I forget, I think he might have been from Ukraine, but that has nothing to do with it. I just remember that's where he's from. I can't remember his name. That guy was awful. We all acknowledge he was terrible. Mm. Outside of that game and maybe a random Ted uncle here or there, we've mostly had, I think, fair to almost a little bit of a, I mean, we got two penalties in the first, like, you know, what was that, 15, 20 minutes of the game?
Yeah, 16 minutes.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's pretty, I'll take that. And they were deserved, but. Hey,
you know what's going to happen?
You
just spoke this into existence.
No.
And in their first round playoff matchup, they're going to get absolutely jobbed just because you had to mention this.
We've never seen that in MLS playoffs or let's say an MLS Cup
MLS final. No.
Ball ran all the way out of bounds by like a full rotation plus, and then we just ignore that because we're the refs and we're dumb and crew lose to Portland. Although I'm told by Morgan Hughes that didn't happen. So correct. I don't know why everyone keeps bringing it up.
Fake news.
It's a great call. I don't believe it happened either. So Reminder with MLS playoffs, how they work.
They're stupid.
Yeah. So you have the wild card round, which is seeds 8 and 9.
Yeah.
Which they should call the Please Lionel Messi Rescue Our Playoffs from Ratings Torture.
So it's going to be interesting before you jump into the rest of the format. So, like, I thought there was no way that when Messi came in, like, that Miami was going to be able to make the playoffs. Now, since then, like, they've actually done a pretty good job. Oh, like, they were DFL in the entire league. Like,
good term, by the way.
Thank you. They DFL. Were all the way down to the bottom. Now Toronto has taken that from the mantelpiece from them. Toronto are on 30 games played and 22 points. They're awful. Miami's
way
got
to go,
20,
Michael Bradley.
Yeah, good job. Miami's got 29 games played on 32 points.
Mm.
Now, New York City is in the ninth spot, okay?
Yeah.
New York City's in the ninth spot, 31 games played on 37 points. So they're 5 points back with 2 games in hand.
And how many to play total? I think there's like 5 or 6 left.
Well, we've got 4, and you play 34 total. They're on 29, so they've got five games left. And New York City has 3 games left.
Do they play each other? Do we? I should have looked at the schedule. I don't know. And if we don't have that, that's okay.
They play each other this weekend.
Okay. So there's a 6-pointer right there.
Yep.
I mean, not that you're going to make up all the ground. And there are other teams in between, obviously, that could still factor in this. But
they get Chicago on the road that next weekend.
Oh,
which,
that's an easy. So if
And then
if
they get Cincinnati at home before going the back-to-back against Charlotte.
And Cincy may be, like, on cruise control at that point if they've locked everything up.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where that all stands mathematically, but I'm sure they're pretty close to clinching whatever they need to clinch for a supporter shield and all that. So, yeah, I'm just saying, like, they may have, if they can, you know, tie New York City, let's say, and then win one of those two, I would think they'd win the Chicago game. So there's 4 points right there.
Yeah.
I don't know what City's last few look like, but they probably are, I'm guessing, going to be in a dogfight there to get that final spot. But definitely
City are on the road against DC and then home against Chicago. So that's pretty manageable.
That's manageable.
And they've won their last two. Yeah. They haven't lost a game since the end of August against Cincinnati.
God, it would be, man, I'm not a New York City FC fan, but it would be hilarious if they just, like, Inter Miami comes in there. Messi's still ouchy, so I don't know if he's going to play in this game, right? Is it at, do we know where it is? Is that at City or is it at Inter?
I can't believe I just did that.
I'm so sorry.
It's down in Miami.
It's okay. Miami. So it's a home game, so at least they don't have to play on the crappy field in New York. So maybe Messi, if he can go, would try for this because it's a, you know, they need it for playoff contention. But, I mean, let's say they get in, whatever the case.
I feel like there's going to be a memo handed out to the referees in the league. Like, you better get this.
They're not. They're, I'll tell you what. There's not a chance that if someone gets an iffy call in the box, it's not going whatever way Miami needs to go. Like, I'm
Dong's
going to
be on the VAR call.
Yeah, exactly right. He'll be like, this is like, I don't usually do this. I just wanted to interject.
So
that
this is
not
blatantly offside. No, it is not.
It is not a handball.
Yeah.
It's like he's actually swatted the ball down
on the goal line
and like held it. He caught it like a tight end, like Travis Kelce catching a pass. That's what he did. So the playoff format for MLS, if you've forgotten or don't know, it's new this year. 8 and 9 play a 1-game playoff.
Yep.
So if you are a wild card, you are not technically guaranteed. If you're the 9 seed, not guaranteed a home game. I believe 8 hosts 9.
Yep.
So if 8 wins, then 9 doesn't get a home game. If 9 wins, then they do get a home game because in the next round, it's a best of 3. Which is what MLS is trying to do to get everyone a chance to have a home game. So best of 3, it's home, away, home, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And they will not, in those 3 games, they will not do extra time. It will be 90 minutes plus stoppage time. And then if that ends in a tie, that game cannot end in a tie. They will have a winner loser, so they will go right to penalty kicks. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird. I don't like it.
It's like the Carabao Cup and the FA Cup during the COVID years.
Yes, where they were just like, we got to finish these games off. We got to get them in. Yep. And so because they need to get possibly 3 games in a compressed time frame so the playoffs don't take forever, they're going to do away with extra time, which I guess I see the reasoning for it. I just don't like it. Also, I don't like doing 3-game playoffs for soccer. Like, I think that's
ridiculous.
I know why. They want everyone to have a home game.
Don't you think you could do aggregate goal scorers over 180 minutes? Like,
you could. They also, but they want everyone to have a home game and they want home field advantage. So they don't want it to be meaningless that you're a top 4 team and then you both get a home game and who cares, right?
Would, like, the advantage be that you're a top 4 team?
I would think being a better team would just be a good thing to do, but They're saying you don't get any home. So they're doing three games to make sure you get a home field advantage, whatever. Anyway, so the Crew, by locking up a playoff spot, have guaranteed at least one home game in the playoffs, which is something we've never had at the LDC. We haven't had a playoff game.
Place so that's going to be rocking.
That'll be a fun night for sure. So excited about that. Then after that round, it goes back to just a one game, winner take all, extra time, penalty kicks like you're used to seeing in a knockout round. And that's for the next, after the round of whatever that would be, eight in each conference, when we get down to the semifinals and the finals and the conference finals and the regular finals. That's all just going to be one game hosted by the higher seed. So
I would be even more for, like, if we're talking about the first round and trying to rework this. And I know it's first year, but I think it's stupid to do three games.
I know.
Like, do the 90 minutes of home and away aggregate goal scoring. And then if you want to, do the semifinals of your conference championship that same way.
Oh, like, yeah.
I'm okay with those being two legs.
I agree with that. I would actually think that fits a little bit more with what we've been used to seeing, you know, in a variety of different settings. I don't think that's necessarily
that way you're
bad.
Guaranteed a home game. Now, it's soccer.
Yes,
there's
but
not
want,
an inherent – and I know it's stupid.
You know what? They want home field advantage. Maybe it's just if the home team is – the higher seed is losing or no, if the higher seed is tied – no, that wouldn't even work. I was going to say that you get extra time if you're the higher seed, but if not, too bad. But no, they wouldn't do that. I'm just trying to think of some way you could give home field advantage. I guess that letting the home team pick which game they get to host.
Yeah. You want the first or second leg.
Yeah, that would be the home field advantage maybe, but still.
And you get to beat up the other star player and take a baseball bat to their knee. Like, give them that advantage.
That's right. You actually, for one game, get to claim one of their players off their roster.
Yeah. So okay, perfect.
Like, so then you're like,
or they
can't
play.
Or they can't play. Or you can just bet. Yeah, that would be great. Just like, that's our bench this. We've benched him. Now you can sub him in the second half.
There you go.
But he's benched for the first half.
And everybody gets an Erling Haaland substitution for 15
I like
minutes.
That. He's going to be a busy man.
Yeah.
All right. So that's the playoff situation. Do we have the Crew schedule up? I should probably.
I do have the Crew schedule.
All right, give me what we have left here, and we'll
figure this out. This coming Saturday, you have Philadelphia Union at home. Now, remember, that was one of the very first games, if not the first game of the Wolfrey Nazi era, right?
That was a tough one out in Philly, if I'm not mistaken.
That was the first game of the year.
Yeah, and then they lose, like, am I wrong, 3-0?
4-1.
4-1.
That was
okay,
all the way
three.
Back in February, so you have not seen them since then. So that's 7:30 kickoff over at the Dot.
Yeah.
This Saturday. Then you have a midweek action against New England on the road. They're a mess. Atlanta on the road back at their place on the October 7th, which is next weekend.
That's at Atlanta, right?
It is at Atlanta. Yeah. And then you finish things off with the Wilfried Nancy Derby, where you entertain Montreal at home at 4 o'clock on Saturday, the 21st. That is decision day.
Yeah. So all those games in the Eastern Conference will be at the same time. Western Conference, they'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the Crew's chances of getting. I think we could look at, maybe I'm being a bit optimistic. I think we could look at it. Montreal a win should be right unless there's nothing to play for and spots are locked up and maybe they rest guys. But assuming you need a win, I think Montreal's a place you could get it.
I mean, you get Atlanta. I mean, you get Atlanta and Philly. Like, both those probably. Teams that you're going to be playing, New England too. I mean, Philly's third.
Yeah.
You're fourth. Atlanta's fifth. New England is sixth. There's a good chance three out of these next four games, like, that will be your opponent heading into round one.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, I think if Philly at home ends up in, let's say you get a point there, I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just saying I'd love to see three, but if they get one, I'm not going to be totally mad about that. You go on the road to New England. I think one of the Atlanta-New England games, you should win one of those games.
Okay.
I know that seems backwards. I just think Philly is really good, and they're going to probably want to make a little bit of a statement. This might be their, like, yeah, we know that you're looking better now, but we're still Philly, and we don't care. So I'm saying if they get Montreal win at home, get three on the road from one of those two games, which is not a given. And New England's always tricky with the turf, and so is Atlanta with the turf. The game's
faster.
So you're
saying seven out of the next four.
I'm saying if let's say they tie two of those, lose one, win one, five out of those next, like, against all playoff competition, right? Mostly except for Montreal, I would take 5 to 7 points. I feel like is a reasonable ask.
Even Montreal's in a playoff spot right now.
Oh, that's true. They are, but they did not play very well at all against the Crew.
No,
and maybe that's. Because of different reasons, maybe schematically they just didn't line up well, but They might be up. You're right. They might be out for revenge, and they might really desperately need that game.
Sure, because they're in the 8-9 battle right now.
Yeah, let's say five is a good number. And I don't mean to undersell what the Crew do. It's just I don't want to spend all of our gas right now. And then you get to the playoffs, and it's like, yeah, well, we look what we did. We showed Philly what's up. We showed New England. We showed Atlanta. It's like that'd be great.
I'd be happy with 6 points.
Yeah, or yeah, two wins
even
or a win and two draws.
Yep. Two home wins. Like you protect the dot.
You know what? And I'm not, again, Philly, I think if you're gonna beat Philly, beating them at home is certainly doable. I don't think the Crew, they should be up for that challenge. That should probably be the game they have, I don't want to say the most circled, but mm-hmm. And I know it's the next one, but that's the game of all these they should look to and say, we get that one, we've got a chance at like really making some like a final push here.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where points wise they would be. They might still have a chance at top two, but if you want anything like that,
they're 2 points behind Orlando right now.
Yeah.
For a second.
Okay.
Both on the same games played.
Yeah. So you have to win all these, as many as you can, but it's a tough schedule. I'm just saying. So, all right, we'll take a break, come back. We'll talk some of the European stuff that we've got to get into. Manchester United is got a lot of things going on. We'll get to that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. You can always tweet the program at Bone Beam United on Twitter, where you can occasionally see Beam tweeting little fun factoids about his Manchester United team as they continue to have a lot of drama within the ranks there, Beam. So the latest with this Jadon Sancho situation, explain this for people who have not been paying attention to it, because Manchester United is basically trying to defend how they are treating Jadon Sancho. And they're saying, we're not running afoul of any legal ramifications. We're not running a foul of FIFA rules. But explain how we got to this point.
Yeah, so it's been pretty wild. It was a very public falling out between Jadon Sancho and Erik ten Hag. Now, I don't know. The whole thing of Erik ten Hag, like, I liked him. He kind of did this with Cristiano Ronaldo, right? I mean, they had that super public falling out kind of fight that they were in. So apparently Jadon Sancho, was going through some things, and obviously he came over from Dortmund and was such a bright player and to the tune of $80 million, and he comes in and all of a sudden, like, he's going to be the savior, and, was going through some things, and they gave him some time off and had to get back to training. He played a little bit, didn't play well, and I guess wasn't up to snuff at training. So Erik ten Hag basically told him, like, listen, buddy, like, you don't get your act together, then you can't play here. Like, you can't play here for us at Manchester United. So he was dropped a couple of weeks ago. Out of the 18, where it's like you aren't even on.
Was that for the Arsenal game?
I think it was for the Arsenal game. It was either that or the game after that.
Okay.
So he was dropped out of the 18, and there were comments, questions like, hey, Jadon Sancho is not on here. Like, why? And he goes, we didn't train up to the standard that we have at Manchester United. Like, didn't train all week and yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. Jadon Sancho comes out with like a statement. He's like, I don't believe everything you read. This isn't true. And, he's got something against me. And he didn't come in when I was when the manager was there. And, he's the new guy. It's just been it's been just kind of a disaster. So fast forward that Jadon Sancho has been banned from training with the first team at Manchester United. So he's been like kicked down to the youth level, or they're like under 21s, under 24s, under 23s, like whatever.
Yeah, essentially
it was.
They're like not quite
not the senior team.
Yeah. Not quite the academy, but like that. I mean, it's like you're playing with the younger players, and at the point where he is currently forced to train, when he is like in the dressing room and all that, he has to go in a private room and lock the door to manage, because there are safeguarding standards, because there are children in the building, and for legal reasons and all this other stuff, they have a lot of regulations on that, of course, rightfully so. He has to be separate from them because he's an adult. There are literally kids in the building.
Yeah, 15, 16-year-olds, so younger than that.
He's not just not training with the first team. Like, he's basically been demoted to, like, you're like you're like a child, basically. And so
imagine that you're a multi-million dollar athlete. He's what, only 22, 23?
Yeah, I mean, he's not an old player, obviously, but
he's still young. He's got his entire career ahead of him. You have a new manager that comes in last year, gives him an opportunity.
Yeah.
You take that opportunity, you don't run with it,
nope. And
you aren't training very well, and he sends you down. And it's not the first time that Erik ten Hag has done this either, and making you train with kids, basically calling you a child.
Right.
And so that is the situation that is ongoing with them. You have the whole Anthony situation. Apparently he's back in the UK with everything that's going on with the police. So, I mean, we'll find out about that. Yeah, it's just, it's not a good situation. Like, there's no way that this ends in anything but an ugly divorce. Like, I don't think there's anything that you can come with this. Hey, sell them off in December and or January, kind of in the middle of the season transfer window. But yeah, whatever had happened to him, like his England spot is gone. I mean, he's not playing for Gareth Southgate anymore. So I don't know what's happening.
It's quite the fall from grace for Jadon Sancho. Yeah. Like it's kind of shocking, at least I feel like, from where we thought this guy was going to go when we first saw him on the radar and now to where it has gone.
Think about that Borussia Dortmund team.
Oh yeah.
Jadon Sancho was Erling Haaland.
Yeah.
And Jadon was the first to go. It was Erling Haaland who was the second to go. And then playing in their midfield is a young lad named Jude Bellingham. Two of the three have worked out tremendously.
Oh yeah.
Like Jude Bellingham is ruling Europe right now.
Yeah.
Like over with Real Madrid.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, oh, I know that, what's his name? Florentino Perez, who I think is the president of Real Madrid. It's like, yeah, we're really upset with Toni Kroos and Luka Modric. And like those guys, I'm not happy with Carlo Ancelotti still playing them. It's like, yeah, Chuamani there. You've got Camavinga. Oh yeah. By the way, you've got Jude Bellingham. Like, I think you're going to be fine.
You'll be
maybe
all
just
right.
Tip your caps to those guys who won like 19, Champions Leagues. Like you're going to move on, but yeah, I mean, at one time it was Jadon Sancho, it was Erling Haaland, and it was Jude Bellingham. And you were thinking to yourself, like, boy, all three of these guys are going to be great. Jadon Sancho may be the best of all of them.
Yes.
It's like, no. I don't know if that's a situation in where, if you look revisionist history, like if Jadon Sancho goes to Manchester City, or he goes to Arsenal, or he goes to Liverpool,
right,
or he goes somewhere else, like goes to Real Madrid or goes to Barcelona, maybe we're talking about an entirely different career. But for whatever reason, when he left Dortmund and came to United, and again, I think that's probably more a United problem than it is a Jadon Sancho problem.
Yeah.
But it have been nothing but a disaster.
No, it's not worked out well. And so why we say they could be running a foul of FIFA rules is FIFA has a lot of rules now banning what they call abusive treatment of players, because there have been, things that coaches have done over the years that have been deemed to be too much and too beyond the pale. One of the things that I guess is happening because of where he is training, he's forced to eat by himself at the Carrington training ground, so he can't even eat with the other players.
Have you seen the movie Superbad?
Yes.
So, I'm eating lunch alone like I'm Steven Glansberg.
Right.
Jadon Sancho's like Jonah Hill.
That's exactly right, yeah. So they apparently the Professional Footballers Association, which is their players union, they're aware of this. They are saying that UK employment law arguments suggest the treatment is not lawful. So meanwhile, Manchester United says, we support Erik ten Hag. We think this is all on the up and up. We don't think we're running afoul of anything. We think we're fine. So we'll see how that all pans out. But clearly the way to make this all end is to move him out and get him somewhere else. And
it's just the easiest.
I'm sure they all would like to see. I'm sure everyone would like to see that happen in this thing. I'm sure he wants out of there. I'm sure they probably want him out of there, but they also don't want to lose on their investment. So that's
well,
probably
they're going to lose. It's just how much are they going to
lose? They don't want to lose much on their investment. They don't want to admit complete failure there, which it wouldn't be theirs totally, but it certainly, they haven't helped him. Let's put it that way.
No.
So meanwhile, across the street, Manchester City's got Erling Haaland looking like a Viking, literally.
I loved that.
Pictures.
I thought it was really awesome.
Yeah. So they had a photo shoot for him in the Oslo Fjord, which is a large sea inlet that lies close to Oslo in
Norway.
Not
the New Zealand fjords. Different
fjords. This would be, the totally different part of the world. You're exactly right. Still fjords, though.
Yep.
But apparently, they had him basically wearing furs. Did they have Erling Haaland? Because, of course, he's from Norway. And they had him posing for these kind of ridiculous shots where he kind of looks like a Viking. But he's in this icy seawater, which I'm sure wasn't pleasant, but the photos turned out great. And the big thing on this is each limited edition print that they do is set to get around 35,000 to 40,000 pounds.
I'm going to get you one of those.
Please do. If you've got 40 grand, by the way, if you have 40 grand sitting around to do, maybe don't give me a photo, maybe give me other things, but sure. If you want to spend 40 grand on that, maybe you have more money than I thought you did.
Well, you love Erling Haaland.
He's good. He's very good. I do
think
love
he's
him.
A handsome-looking devil.
Know what?
I might have to take a big old bank loan out to be able to get you that.
Yeah. You know what? Don't bother.
If anybody out there is listening and you're able to swing that, we would love nothing more than one of these.
I should be getting it for you. I mean, he's your guy, Mr. Manchester United. He plays for the other team.
You know my thoughts on City. But there are players who you can tip the cap to and you can respect and understand what they do is just at a mesmerizing level. Manchester City, not my guys. Players on their team, unbelievable players.
Yeah.
Like, Phil Foden's tremendous. What he has to bring is awesome. Like, watching Erling Haaland just play soccer, I'm like, I know that I'm supposed to be cheering against these guys, but watching him is mesmerizing. Watching him dress up in Vikings shirtless and having his hair down, too, might be more mesmerizing than his soccer playing abilities.
It's pretty incredible, right? So, if you've got the cash to swing that, it goes to a charitable cause. He'll pick the cause in Norway that goes to support, so let him live. I think that's great when you can use whatever star power you have to raise money for charity. Good for him. So that's Manchester City and Manchester United in a nutshell.
Yep.
Let them live. This post we got to talk about from Napoli. So they had an issue where, was this in the Champions League game or was this a league game?
I think it was a league game.
Okay. So Nigerian international, Victor Osimhen, who is a very talented player for them, scored, I believe, 30 plus goals last year.
Good.
One of the reasons why they were so good last year. He missed a penalty in a game for Napoli. And, of course, that happens. And there's video of him, like any player, when they get fouled, going, hey, that should have been a penalty. Or I think he was actually signaling maybe for a handball in that case. The penalty was awarded. He took it, missed it. Napoli's TikTok account, jarringly, I don't know why what makes them think this is even a good idea. They posted video of this incident of him, you know, calling for the handball, calling for the foul, whatever, and then taking the penalty kick and missing it. And they played
Almost like Benny Hill music, kind of.
Played Benny Hill music, and then they had
like a Yoshi sounding thing.
They had something that sounded like, or like Alvin and the Chipmunks, sped up, like, you know, real tiny voice. And it was them like saying, oh, please give me the foul, give me the foul, give me the ball, let me kick it. And then he misses it. And it's like,
that's coming from the team's direct account.
Yeah, like, at first I'm thinking in my head, when I read this, I just wasn't putting together that Napoli posted this. I was thinking it was some other team. And I'm like, well, why would, because it said he was considering legal action and all this other stuff. And he didn't want to wear the shirt anymore. And I'm like, well, why would he be that mad? Oh, it was his own team doing it. Yeah. I wasn't putting together at first that Napoli posted this. I thought it was someone other team posted it.
Yeah, it wasn't like Roma doing it. Yeah, like that.
It's the type of post you would see from another team. It wouldn't be the classiest post ever, but
that's shit posting.
Yeah, exactly right. That's what the internet is all about now, is everybody shit posting. And you would expect another team to do that, right? It wasn't. It was his team. So then Rudy Garcia, who's the manager, he said that the club's social media post was, quote, clumsy. I got to say, I would have called it something more than that. I would have said,
that guy needs to be freaking fired.
Yeah, I would have gone Mike Gundy.
Yeah.
He's like, come after me. I'm the coach. I'm however old Rudy Garcia is. Like, whoever put it out is garbage. Like, I would have had all those quotes out there. Like, stand up for your guy.
Where's our social media admin at?
Yeah. Like, I would have come to the press conference and been like, the social media admin has been fired for that. Mm-hmm. It's unacceptable. We have players that gave their heart and soul for this club. This man put in 30 goals for us last year. We had the best season we've ever had. Sure, is it gone well this year? Well, maybe not. But you know what? He doesn't deserve that. None of my players deserve that. And I will make it clear to our ownership that that guy should be fired, or whoever posted that should be fired. It's not acceptable. They clearly don't know what they're doing if they're posting stuff like that.
Also, stuff happens. You miss penalties. Like, if you're the designated penalty kicker, like you are going to miss.
Yeah. It almost felt like someone who did not either had a personal vendetta against him for some other reason that no one else would totally understand, or they're just like not aware of how soccer works. And it's like, oh, our guy missed a penalty. It's the easiest shot in the world. You should never miss them. So screw that guy. And it's like, but you have no context for that. I'm new to this situation, and maybe there's something I'm missing of this, but I do not get how the coach is not even more riled up. Maybe in the original language of these quotes, it is more riled up than clumsy, but like if I worked here, or I do work here. they shouldn't. But if someone were on like social media posting about like, look how awful T-Bone is. He's stupid. He's terrible. No one should listen to his show. I would be. And then my boss was like, well, it's unfortunate that was supposed to. I would be pretty frustrated. I'd be like, hey, man, I thought we were all on the same team.
You guys
here.
Already say that about yourselves.
We do. And we admit it fully. I'm just pointing out that I wouldn't expect it to come from like a verified account of ours.
Like a fan account just tweeting out like, hey, T-Bone stinks.
Not even like T-Bone got this wrong or is dumb or whatever, or like you should have heard the stupidity. It's not that. It's no one should listen to their show. They're a dumpster fire. I don't know how they have jobs. Like that would be something where I'd say, well, okay, I also don't know how we have jobs. Yeah. But why are you posting that? Yeah. That would be the thing I wouldn't get. So I'm surprised that manager did not have
my favorite thing that we've got going in the social media era is like deleting all your pictures.
Yes, too. That
was, and that's what he did, like on Instagram and on TikTok, like all of him wearing the Napoli stuff, just gone.
Yeah.
Poof.
Yeah. And you know what? I don't blame him. I don't know what the legal action would be. I don't know what you could.
Harassment, maybe?
I guess maybe. I don't know the laws in every country, clearly. So, yeah, but that's quite a thing. So, don't do that, Napoli. Don't like tick off one of your best players. Maybe that's stupid. Now,
maybe Chelsea can go sign him and he won't score any goals for them and they can make fun of him doing that.
Yeah. They've never had that problem before.
Hey, I'm punching way down.
Hey,
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's okay. Sorry, Chelsea fans, but
are you though?
No, not really. The last thing on that is apparently Victor Osimhen, they said that everything, he still is good to play for the team and all that. They're saying the right things.
But yeah, it's because the transfer window's not open.
Keep an eye on that.
It's going to be like, all right, boom, like, and he's going to be gone.
If you go to the comments of that post, who is it? Fabrizio Romano, I think, posted it and had the little breakdown of it. The comments of that post, every comment is like, come to Barcelona, come to Real Madrid, we won't do that to you. Come to Manchester City. Like,
everyone's fake.
Yes, yeah. Everyone's like, just come here. We don't have to worry about that. And it's like, all right, I get it. All right, last thing before we go, you've waited this long, or you haven't, you're just still here.
Then you can just turn it off now.
Yeah, you can. I'm giving you the option, but if you're in, then you're in. Firefest / Furnace Fest, which I went to down in Birmingham, Alabama. Beam was everything I hoped it would be, and then some.
Good. Awesome. You've been looking forward to this for like a long time,
I've been looking forward to this since 2002, because this festival started in the early 2000s, and then it went 4 years, and then it stopped. And so I had seen photos in magazines back when magazines were a thing that I used to read of this type of music. You know, here we were at Furnace Fest and they have these, you know, great venues to play and all this stuff, all these bands I loved. And then it went away and then I got old and then suddenly life
happens.
Well, and then like after pandemic, they said, we're bringing this back. The guy who put it on back 20 years ago, he's gone and done other things. He wanted to bring this festival back. First couple years, I couldn't get there, but I finally was able to get there this year, saw MXPX was playing, a band I've always wanted to see, got to go, we're there at the festival, and they tell us, oh yeah, next year, last year of the festival, shut it down after that. So guess who's already got tickets for next year?
You.
Yeah. Bought the early birds, going to try to go all 3 days this time. But it was a lot of fun. They have a venue called The Shed, which is a giant metal structure.
And like, you're doing it disservice. I mean, it's gigantic.
Yeah, it's an old steel mill, basically. It's a blast furnace where they made all the molten iron.
Yeah.
They turned all the raw ore into stuff that you can make actual things out of. So this is what literally back in the day when this thing's been around since like the 1870s. So this is one of the reasons why Birmingham like became wealthy at a time, because they had railroads that went through there.
Yeah.
And they had all the material to make steel, I guess, 30 miles in the Birmingham city, within 30 miles of Birmingham. So they could get all the raw ore and stuff to make this stuff. And it was cheaper. They could do it more efficiently, whatever, and get it out there. So they started undercutting all the northern places that had more established factories, and it put them on the map, and they made a bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And anyway, it's all been closed since the 70s, but that venue is huge structures and giant.
Is it haunting?
Things.
Like, I would imagine, like, walking in there would kind of be like, whoa.
Well, they said the place is haunted. I didn't test any of the, I didn't go in any places. I should have taken a tour.
Steel mills notoriously for their, especially back in the day, like their incredible safety record.
Yeah, right. I'm sure there's unfortunately, a lot of people who died there, no doubt. But yeah, there were people that almost died in this thing, because it's a giant shed.
Did you get in the pit?
Oh, hell yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I was in there. It was there was a band I wanted to see called Walls of Jericho. They're from Detroit. And band that I had been aware of back when I was banging and then got old. They got old, but they've still kind of been around. And so I found out they were going to be there. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to see them. They were amazing. Their lead singer, whose name is Candace, she's a woman, and she is like got one of the like biggest screams you're ever going to hear. But that the pit for that was insane. It was a lot of fun seeing
now,
them.
Now, does Melissa get into the pit?
No.
Okay.
She was there for Reliant K and the band called Amberlin that we like. Yeah. These are more like pop punk.
I'm more familiar with more of the Reliant K.
Yes.
Amberlin than I am.
Yeah. So the
walls
biggest
of Chris Jericho.
Walls of Jericho. That's right. That was his like finishing move. One of them.
Yep.
That and the Lion Tamer. Anyway, so saw that band, saw a bunch of bands I'd never heard of. There's a band called No Cure. They're a straight edge metalcore band.
Sounds a lot different than The Cure.
No Cure. they are from Birmingham, and so they were local. So their set was a lot of locals were there, and so they were like screaming, singing with every word. So that was a lot of fun. And then I saw bands like I'd never seen Throwdown, which is a band I've wanted to see forever. They haven't really toured a lot lately. The lead singer got up at one point on the stage and said, "We haven't had a rehearsal with this lineup since 2015.
Wow.
And they played this show and they knocked it out of the park. They were great. It was so good. One of the security guards, because they have security there in front of the stage, there's a mosh pit that formed. And one of the security guards was on break and just like got in the pit and was moshing with us. And it was great because you could tell it's like, you know, maybe not his scene necessarily, but a lot of the security guards were actually really cool and nice and letting us kind of do our thing and not get in the way. And it was a good group. I'll say that. There was a tattoo artist from Toledo that was there with the bus, and she was doing tattoos. They weren't free. You had to pay for them.
Yeah.
But they were all like Furnace Fest related. So the one I've decided I think I'm going to get if I do it, which I'm planning to, and what I was going to get there, it's the Bucky's gas station logo.
Yep, the beaver.
Yes, his name is Bucky. So they, underneath that, instead of Bucky, they had it called Fernie for Furnace Fest. And then they had, you know, like a straight edge triple X on his hat. I'd probably get something else because
I saw it on your
I'm
Instagram.
Straight edge. Yeah. So I'm thinking I might get that. Maybe mix that with like, they have like a water tower that they have as part of their logo for the furnaces. Mm-hmm. That I might get like a mixture of that. But anyway, I'm going to go up and try to get that tattoo sometime in the next month, hopefully. But yeah, it just reminded me of all this music that I've really enjoyed.
That's great, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So what I would say is if you're getting old, I highly recommend leaning into the stuff you liked. As long as it's not harmful. You know, if you like drugs and like, you know, maybe you're like sober now and you don't do any of that stuff, don't lean into that again. But you know what I mean? Like if there's good stuff you like, lean into it again.
Bone's telling you to don't pick the pipe back up.
Well,
that's
right.
That's what
I'm
you're
just
saying.
I'm aware that not everyone can do that. I'm just pointing out if there are things that aren't harmful for you and they're good and you want to lean back into them, you're like, oh, I'm too old to do that. No, you're not. Get back to, you know, if you like the style of music, maybe you feel like you're too old to go back. No, get out there. Enjoy it. And
I feel like you're really having like a revitalization.
Well,
of these last couple
you know,
of years.
It is. It's the
kids are getting older. Or like,
yeah, we're having more opportunity to get out and do stuff again. But it's also like musically, I always liked this music. And then I just kind of figured, well, I'm out of it now. And those bands all broke up.
Aged out.
Yeah. But then it's like, one, there are a bunch of new bands that are picking it up and still going. And those bands are great. Two, some of those old bands are now reuniting and doing their 20-year tour of this album or 10-year tour since
this
album.
That's what we went to last week.
Yeah, with Postal Service, right, and Death Cab for Cutie. So those are the things that I feel like keep me back in the game, back to, in my mind, being a little younger, not letting the older age start to set in. But it was also great going to this because a lot of people that looked like me that had the same type of shirts on and knew the references. I think going to places where people know your references is so huge, especially if you like things that are not maybe the most popular. Like, again, if you like Taylor Swift, though, I bet when you go to a Taylor Swift concert, it's out of this world for you because then everyone there knows every song, every word. You all know the lingo. You know the Swifty culture. I bet that's gratifying to go to that stuff. So, yeah, I would just highly encourage people who have whatever your niche is, lean into it and enjoy it. So, yeah, it was fun.
I'm glad you had a great time.
You're going with me next year.
I'm in.
We're doing the show next year down there.
I'm 1,000% in.
I'm trying to and the last thing I will say, so a lot of the heavier bands, they do, you know, there's like a wall of death. You ever heard of this?
Sounds awesome.
What it is
is where the two parties separate them and everybody.
They split the pit open and say, all right, form a line. And it's like Red Rover. And then you just boom, right into each other.
Did you get in there?
Oh, yeah. Nice. But what I didn't expect was I did that a few times. And then those were the heavier bands. Then MXPX, who's like a pop punk kind of band that I was there to see. They like second song, Mike Herrera, their lead singer, bass player, is like, all right, it's Furnace Fest. We're doing a Wall of Death. Let's go. Let's get this going. This is a punk rock show. This isn't pop punk. Let's go. And I'm like, oh, yes. And so then that was probably the highlight of the night. And then I was like circle pit dancing and doing all this stuff. And then I popped my calf muscle.
I was going to say, how were you feeling the next morning?
It was a little rough the next morning because they had field turf down where this was. And so we're all like dancing around and I literally like just went to push off to like jump or something.
Now you know why Lionel Messi won't play on turf.
And I felt in my calf muscle a little like, pop, like, and it just.
Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I did. I think I strained a calf. I'm not like trying to be overdramatic. I think that's probably a little very minor thing of what I did was I strained a calf muscle. And then I instantly felt it and was like, oh no. I thought, and then I'm like, oh no, did I tear something? Yeah. Am I like not gonna be able to walk? And so then I just like left the pit area and walked to the back and kind of stood there to hear the rest of the set. But I had to walk into the car, which was still like a good, I don't know, quarter, half mile away. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't stand too long. So I ended up listening to the rest of their set as I was walking out. I missed like the last two songs, but I heard them. But then I'm like, oh God, just get to the car. Don't you old man.
That was the realization of like, I'm back living in my
yes,
20s.
Yes, yes.
I'm good. And then.
Yep, that was it.
Getting and so, calf pop and yep, then old man life set back in.
It did. But fortunately, I mean, I will say of all the things that could have happened, it's not too bad. I'm walking around on it fine. I've not been able to run on it yet, so I'm kind of going to see how that goes the next few weeks. But it did set in, like, I could have popped an Achilles, mm-hmm, and we could have been in a whole different place. So thankfully that did not happen. So it was good. And it was fun, and we stopped at Buc-ee's on the way back, and I'm not kidding. Every time I stop at a Buc-ee's, I buy $50 worth of gas and $70 worth of stuff inside.
Perfect.
It's always how it goes. But all right, that's it. Thanks for listening. For those three of you that haven't turned this off yet, enjoy. Maybe what I'll do, I may post a link on my Twitter at Degenerate T-Bone. Maybe I'll post a link to like a playlist on Spotify, yeah, if you want to hear some of these bands and go check them out for yourself. Probably not for most people, but they were for me. They were great. So, all right, that's it for us. We'll do this again next week. Hopefully no more music talk for a while. Back to soccer fully next week. We'll see you then. It's Bone and Beam United.